You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. And a very good Monday morning to you. Happy President's Day out there for those of you that are working. And if you're not, thanks for joining us all the same. We're embarked on a Monday edition and halfway through February, working on the second half, more than halfway since it's only 28 days. And hopefully spring is here. And I don't know, life seems to get better when the spring rolls around. The cold weather goes away. I don't know, life just seems to get better. Let me tell you what we're going to do today on the program. We're going to talk to Justin Constantine. We talked current events on Monday. John McCain in the news over the weekend. Kind of interesting, you know. He was in Europe. He was in Germany. I think it was Germany at a security conference, and he had some very sharp words to say about the Trump administration and about his criticism of the media, and which is interesting because I think that a lot of people sympathize with some of the things the president says about the media. So there's, you know, like, you know, the line that comes into my head, like any good lie, there's elements of truth in it. So maybe that applies to politics more than we care to think. So when you hear, you know, the president lash out at the media, I think everybody on both, you know, I don't care where you are in the spectrum, says yeah, but for different reasons. And I think the media does have its own issues that it has to deal with. And if they look the other way on that, then I think they do avoid one of the great issues in a democracy. And I say that because I think the whole media piece is a huge threat to the democracy. I think it's a huge, huge, huge threat. And their inability to tell the truth on a regular basis is a huge threat to the lifeblood of democracy. So I don't know what you do about it. As a matter of fact, I don't know how we change it. I don't know what we do about it. So it's kind of interesting when he does level that criticism. I know I, for one, I say, yeah, no kidding. Now, does that mean I'm agreeing with everything that he says? No, of course not. Nobody does. But then you see John McCain say the things that he said. This is how dictators start. The administration is in disarray. And you know what? And those are right, too. You know, can it all be true? Maybe elements of all of it can be true, and that's what I think most people find confusing, and there's great consternation. I would say this, though. On the upside, have you ever lived... And I was too young in the 60s. Have you ever lived in a more vibrant, you know, political time when people are learning about the democracy, how it works? And the great thing you see about the democracy is it has to go through Congress. It has to withstand the Supreme Court. So he can say what he says and do what he wants to do. But at the end of the day, I mean, there's certain tests that he's got to get through. So we'll talk about current events today. We'll also talk about some interesting stuff, carrier battle groups in the South China Sea, and also China telling North Korea that that it needed to. It's not going to buy as much coal anymore. And seems like an economic move, kind of reminiscent of what we see in the South China Sea with the Chinese. Hey, if you don't want to do what we tell you, okay, if you don't want to pay attention, then we won't buy from you. China wields a gigantic sludgehammer. They don't need to get their military after anybody. Just shut off Chinese markets. Yeah, ask Ford or GM about that, what that would do to its profits. Exactly. So anyway, we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about now I'm not exactly sure. Grant Newsham is supposed to join me. And so he sent me an email. Mac, are we still good for tomorrow? Grant. And I said, well, if tomorrow means in 2 hours and 16 minutes, yes. But he's in the Orient, which is about, 9 hours, 11 hours behind us. So what does tomorrow mean for him? Anyway, we're getting our shit together. So if you don't hear that, I will reach into the vault, and I've got a couple things I want you to listen to. Anyway, so, and then the gunner will join us. So, with that said, we will usher in your Monday morning here on a President's Day, a day we honor presidents, Lincoln and Washington, here in the United States with the national anthem. Good morning to you. I'm looking for something. I'm not finding it. So guess what? We're not going to hear it. We'll have to hear Colleen singing today. And it's a favorite of mine, but...
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans. Wipe us home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Done, Dad.
Minutes after 7 here on a holiday Monday morning. check the weather on the nation, and then we'll get Justin Constantine on the hook. Currently 53 degrees in Quantico under sunny skies. Camp Lejeune 64 under sunny skies. 60 degrees under cloudy skies in Texas in Granbury. Up in North Dakota, 41 degrees, and it's raining. Yeah, washing away all that snow and dirt that accumulates over the winter. I love that. Cold in California, 46 out of 29 Palms under sunny skies. Camp Pendleton, cloudy and 53. Camp Smith, mostly cloudy, dark, and 69 degrees, normally in the mid-70s. Okinawa's warmed up, though. Cloudy, dark, and 68 degrees in Okinawa. Currently 53 degrees at the home of Almarine Radio, the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area, Southern California. I'm sorry, clear and 56 in Fallujah. Update the temperature here. It's dark in Fallujah, by the way. In Costa Mesa, 53 cloudy. So let's look at your weather. We're gonna take a quick break. This hour of Almarine Radio, brought to you by our friends at Battlemont. That's right. If you're looking for a nice President's Day gift, Battle Mug, I'm telling you. And starts out as a 10.5 block of T6 billet aluminum. It's milled, machined, and anodized. And before you know it, boom, you've got a quality mug. So, anyway, then with the operator, it's got Picatinny rails on it. You can scope it, you can laser it, you can camera it, you can do whatever you want. You take it into the office, you can decal it, you can emblem it, you can do that. So it's a great commemorative, very unique gift. The handle on it is a M16 M4 handle that you put on it. So very cool. You can check them all out, their entire line of products, at battlemug.com. Promo code Marine for 15% off. It's veteran owned, Marine originated, entirely made in the U.S. So a great company, a great sponsor of Almarine Radio. So with all that said, we're going to take a quick break. More of Almarine Radio coming up next, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
As we recognize the service of America's men and women in uniform, let's also honor the families who sacrifice so much every day. Military families endure frequent deployments and separations. They carry on while their loved ones are sent into harm's way and wait patiently for their safe return. If you really want to honor a veteran, look for ways to support their families and thank them for their sacrifices. Go to legion.org/honorveterans to find out how you can help.
This is Montel Williams. As a U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran, I know the sacrifice that our servicemen and women make for us every single day. If you're a veteran or a military member transitioning out of the service, help is available to you. The U.S. Department of Labor can help you get training, find a good job, or further your education. Contact the Veterans Employment and Training Service at 866-487-2365 or visit dol.gov/vets.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. For some reason, and I'd have no idea why, but for some reason, Justin I can't ever get through to his phone. It's happened like 3 weeks in a row, and it didn't used to happen before that. Enough of you two. Joining me now is the one and only Justin Constantine. So, I don't know what is going on with the phone thing, man. How can it be busy like that for weeks?
I don't know. Let's look at the lowest tower down there. Nobody else has this problem. Okay, let's look at it from that angle.
I know, it happens every once in a while. You know, you'll try to contact it and they'll say, due to system traffic or the system is busy or something like that. And you get that, but,
weren't you in charge of lots of...
No.
Heightened positions of increased responsibility year after year.
No, so how was your weekend? So first of all, tell me about your week. Did you go speak any place? Where'd you go?
I was out in Colorado this past week talking to a company out there in Denver that's getting ready to stand up a veteran hiring program. So I came in to consult with them on best practices around that. So I like that because obviously we'd like to see more companies hiring veterans. So that was excellent. And then, that was Wednesday, Thursday, and actually I have a cousin who lives out there, so I got to see him, and then came back in time for the weekend here in New York.
So long 3-day weekend. Now, do you observe President's Day, or do you keep working?
Today's actually a work day for me. Catching up on a lot of stuff. So, yeah, I work from home, so today's a work day. What about you?
No, today I'm working today. So, now my daughter has it off, so that's all right. But my sons have it off. They're having a 3-day weekend. So,
At the end of the week, I'm going down to Philly. There's a Army veteran named Jerry Flanagan who has a company called J-Dog Removal Services. And he's kind of turned into a franchise, but you have to be a veteran to be part of it. And so it's taking off. I've seen his customized trucks all the way up in Albany and different parts of New York. And so they're kind of growing on the East Coast. And it's just like trash removal or junk removal, whatever you need it for. But they're out of Philly, so they're having, I guess they have a monthly event. They invited me to come down and meet some of their guys and talk with them a little bit. So, again, always love to see events like that where we get to celebrate veteran entrepreneurs and help them succeed.
Justin Constantine, retired Lieutenant Colonel in the United States Marine Corps, joins me. So are they just containers, or is it a service, too?
It's a service, but it's also the truck. They have their own trucks. And so, it's a service.
All right. Now, let me just tell you, and especially when something bad happens, when there's severe weather, whether it be rain or snow or, you know, whenever you see crazy stuff, those guys are in huge, huge demand and make a ton of money with that kind of stuff. So in hindsight, should have bought a dump truck, man. Should have bought a dump truck. All that highfalutin stuff, maybe not. Should have bought a skip loader and a dump truck.
You get a dump truck, put some cool graphics on the side.
Yeah.
Advertise that you got Marines and other vets doing it. That's a good business plan.
Yeah. So interesting. What's the weather? Give us a weather update in Manhattan. How's it looking today?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, I have actually in my office. So we have Florida ceiling windows in our apartment, but I have to have the shades down because the sun is so bright today. But I mean, I went outside this morning. 8:30, and it's already 45 degrees, so it's going to be a beautiful day here today.
Well, that's awesome. Where do you...
Of course, you're used to that every day. It's nice where you are.
Well, you know, it's been raining out here like crazy, so...
Well, that's right.
Yeah. And it's supposed to rain some more. What about... where do you PT in New York City? You live in... on the upper west side?
I'm all the way to 110th Street. So I have a couple options. Columbia University is right around the corner. That's why I moved here. I was a program there, and so first I joined as a spouse. I joined the school gym there. It's actually kind of funny. I walked in and was talking to some guy who's working there, and he was a former Marine sergeant. He knew who I was because I had been in the Commandant's birthday video years ago. He recognized me from that, so that was kind of cool. But their gym there is actually really small, and so I joined the YMCA. Because they have a swimming pool, which is important for me since I can't run anymore because of, you know, injuries and stuff. And right. So there's that, but I'm hoping this year that it's profitable enough here where I can join the New York Athletic Club, which has a little bit of a price tag to it, but it's a tremendous facility. So that's what I'm looking at.
I'm kind of curious. So Justin, you know, as a guy who's been kind of smashed up and operated on and whatnot, how do you do PT? How do you do cardio?
Yeah, well, I can't run. Doctors took bones out of both my legs to reconstruct my jaw. But I can walk fine. So actually, we also have a gym in the basement of our apartment, so I use that. But so I can use an elliptical machine. I can do basic cardio. Like these boot camp things, I can do that as long as it doesn't include jumping up and down or running. There's a lot I can do. So I use a rowing machine.
Okay.
I like to swim, elliptical, weights, and then, you know, some walking. That doesn't really count. That's just more for fun. But
right.
So I have a fair amount of things I can do.
Okay. All right. And then you can obviously, you can lift weights. There's no other constraints on you physically relative to that. It's just the stress on your legs because they've removed pieces of bone to reconstruct your jaw.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so good looking now.
let me just say, I'm going to tell everybody a funny story. So I'm doing nothing over the week. I'm working over the weekend, right? And, you know, the one thing about Marines, they're pretty funny.
We met before I was in.
As a rule, they're pretty funny. So, but LinkedIn is kind of a serious forum. Right, Justin? So, you know, stuff that we might post on maybe Facebook or something like that, you wouldn't tend to post in LinkedIn because it's more professional. So I look up and there's a picture of Justin with his wife and somebody else at an event, you know. And then I see Tim Maxwell, who's a friend of mine from Iraq, and he makes a comment about, you know, Justin's wife being a good-looking woman. It made me laugh. It made me laugh because, you know, you just tend not to see that. And then so, of course.
Like,
yeah, so, yeah, exactly. So when Maxwell, like, when he green-lighted, I was like, okay, well, I'm all over this then, like a hobo on a ham sandwich. And so I had to pile on. And,
of course.
Exactly. So, but it was kind of funny because, you know, you don't really do that on that website. So it was kind of funny.
Hey, at least it was two guys saying my wife was, you know, pretty.
Exactly. It could have been worse. We would never do that.
That picture was with General McNeil, who was in the 60s, one of the Greensboro Four. One of the four African Americans who boycotted the lunch counter at Woolworths. So he's a historical icon, you know, in the civil rights movement. But he's an Air Force retired two-star general, so I met him at an event last week. So it's pretty cool for us.
Let's talk some current events.
Sure.
The president last week said that the media is the enemy of Americans, right?
That's right.
Okay. Now, I was mulling that about because there's part of me that believes that, okay? And I thought, you know what? Like any good lie, right, a good political statement would have an element of truth to it. Talk to me about that statement and not just your own feelings, but you know, I think that is a pretty hot topic in the country in terms of in terms of the media and how much opinion goes into what they do and this whole discussion. So I'm curious about your thoughts.
Well, yeah, I guess from a macro level, I mean, you're exactly right. It is a hot topic because both sides, I'll make a binary, you know, Republican Democrat thing, but both sides have seized on this idea of alternate facts, alternate news, you know, you name it. There have been two sides to every story. And so there are some, you know, a lot of breakdown along party lines. And some of the stats out there show that, for instance, the Trump supporters, 40% of their news comes solely from Fox News. And Fox News has a much different programming than what the Trump supporters would call mainstream media, or, you know, that's their alternate side. That's NBC, CBS, you know, the more conventional, more traditional news outlets than the written. It's Washington Post and New York Times. And even Wall Street Journal has said some articles that don't really support Trump, but I don't think they consider the Wall Street Journal alternate news. But on the other side, on the Democrat side, of course, they get very angry at a lot of things that Trump says that are not based. They don't feel they're based in reality. They feel like he makes up facts and figures. We just use one as an example that there are 5 million illegal votes in the presidential election. Because he's clearly bothered by how that turned out. And so, even though he won. And so, people on both sides. I have friends in both camps. I read a lot of things, and I can see both sides really are upset about this. And some folks say that they are very concerned about the president calling the free press the enemy of the nation, because it really cuts down on the idea of a free press. I mean, Senator McCain talked about this weekend in Germany and so right. many others. So that's the, on the macro level, that is a big concern. Is we should all accept the fact that there are two sides to every story, different outlets have different slants. We know Huffington Post is different from Fox News, et cetera. You kind of know what you get when you're going there. I am personally, in the camp of those who are concerned when he says something like the American press or the press is an enemy of the nation, because that is serious repercussions. That's the same in my mind as saying that there were 5 million examples of voter fraud. That really chips away at the legitimacy of our democracy. And this is an issue much bigger than President Trump. And so I think we have to look at it in those views and not just how upset you are about the way a particular story is playing out.
Yeah, and that's the concern. It's like, so when you read Chris Wallace taking on Rice Priebus yesterday, and so that's Fox News telling the chief of staff of the White House, hey, you don't get to decide how we do our job. But I would ask the chief of staff, I would say, Rice, don't you think, though, or if I was Rice Priebus, I would ask Chris Wallace, I'd say, Chris, but don't you feel our pain? We feel like the stories about us get treated so differently than any other political candidate we've seen in the last 10, 15 years. It's what the mainstream media, when they rolled on Bush, it's what they did to him times 7 or 8 or 9. And so do you think we have any point? And I think a reasonable man would say, yeah, I do think you have a point. Okay, Chris, how would you articulate that concern were you us? How would you do that? Now, I think the president tries to make the media the issue sometimes when he doesn't want to be the issue, and that's politics. But I think there's elements of truth in both arguments. And so
how put yourself in the mindset of the Trump administration? How are they being treated unfairly by the press? I mean, and this is an honest question. Like, what is it about these articles in the press that, it's one thing if it's if articles are based purely on unnamed sources and there's no verification or anything like that. I think Chris said that. I think he said, if it was what we consider irresponsible reporting, that would be a problem. But I don't think the majority of the articles do that, certainly not for the big papers.
I would tell you, I think.
What is your opinion on that?
My opinion is that the stuff that I see is so overheated, and so I would just say anti-Trump. I'm not a great fan of his.
Right,
In terms of media coverage, I see it as so overheated and so shrill about him and the things he does, right? And so, you would. I think you and I both know this, right? So the desire to hit pause on immigration from 7 countries, right? That got turned into what? It's anti-Muslim. It's the end of America as we know it. It is. You know what I mean? But if you read articles.
Sorry. Go ahead.
If you read articles, it was like the world was coming to an end. And so I think there are elements of truth, I think, in that. But what does he do with it? He sells you the whole reefer madness. You smoke a joint, you're going to be on heroin. That's not always the case. Okay. And so you're creating this extreme out of certainly, I think, a valid point. And so to me, it'll just be interesting. How the media certainly has to look at the way it reports. and that they should report news and it should be verified. And I think the 24-hour news cycle, and he has put it on steroids, you know?
That's right.
You know what I mean? It's now it's almost like this bloodlust, for these stories. So anyway, I just think there's
when other presidents put out press releases or actually got their answer questions, all the news stations have people that are covering that. Now, as you said, Trump put it on steroids. He's tweeting all the time. I mean, if he puts out a tweet that says, 5 million examples of voter fraud. I mean, that should be scrutinized. He's a president.
No, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Very high standards. So, right. That's just one example. I mean, you could name a topic. He says the American people aren't interested in tax returns. Well, a lot of them are. And so if you're going to put out their cult, this so-called judge, these types of things deserve a reaction, and they're going to get that. So I just think and at the same time, a lot of mixed messages coming out of one administration. Giuliani says, hey, Trump approached me and, about this Muslim ban, and asked how we could do it legally. Someone else will say, oh, this is not a Muslim ban. This is based on something Obama said. And then Kellyanne Conway was just something else. So a lot of different messages, a lot of times at the same time. Look at all the stuff with Flynn. So it's not a coordinated administration. They have a lot of positions to fill.
No doubt.
They have to they're on their, training wheels, so to speak, like every other administration has been at this point.
But hey, Justin, let me say this. They have not been very good in terms of, let me tell you, I think the best pieces of that administration are, and this is just me, you have General Kelly buttoned up, trying to do what he's supposed to do. You have General Mattis touring the world, trying to reassure allies, saying all the things he's supposed to say. And I would say even Rex Tillerson, who's at Department of State, he's very quietly gone about his job, not a whole lot of fanfare, not in the news very much. And so I think
right now,
trying to do those things, and so it's not easy stuff, and then you have Kellyanne Conway and the president out there constantly, it seems like, making things not better. How's that for a term? They're making
it's
not
very
better.
Uncoordinated, and that's got to change soon, because otherwise, if you have a point here that the media is being too harsh and ratcheting things up quickly, then both sides need to adapt to the new reality and get better. But I do think that everything the president says is important and newsworthy. He's the president of the United States. President Bush didn't get out and send tweets all day long. He was one of the complaints about him was he doesn't do enough press releases. He's not answering questions. Obama was out there more often. President Trump is choosing to send out tweets to 15 or 20 million people at a time about his personal feelings about whatever caught his eye.
Right.
Then that's the topic for discussion.
Right. Right. No, you're right. Like I said, my opinion, they've been brutal. They get graded in any kind of transition you're doing. They would get graded as, brutal. And the reason why? Because of the self-inflicted gunshot wounds that they've administered to themselves. Transitioning is difficult. I don't care if you're transitioning between, the 82nd Airborne and the 1st Marine Division or between regiments. New guys come in, old guys leave, you start over, people are caught in the middle, blah, 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 blah. But the self-inflicted stuff that they do to themselves is reflects poorly on their level of organization and leadership and then what they do under pressure, because what they're being accused, like Kellyanne Conway, she knows better than to say what she said.
Right.
And so I don't know. So we'll see where it goes. I just, again, like any good lie, there's elements of truth in it. And I think that's what you see on both sides of that argument. The media can get pissed, but they do need to look at themselves and say, hey, we probably need to clean our act up a bit. And the president, no doubt. If this is going to go on for 4 years, Good God, man.
Yeah, it can't. But I will say, though, you know, like watching Meet the Press, these other shows, the administration is putting people out there to answer questions. So it's not like they're hunkering down. Granted, it's only been a month, but they're not hunkering down. So they are out there. So they have to get better at it. And I think inside the White House is probably very confusing right now because people are filling up, trying to understand their roles, and people are carving out territory and vying for his attention probably as well.
You know, okay, you have a topic, and I want to talk about that because that was assigned homework, and I don't want to try to squeeze that in the end. So tee it up, Justin. What do you got?
Well, the one issue I want to talk about is how expensive. And we touched on this before, but how expensive it is for the president's trips down to Mar-a-Lago and maintaining a family up here in Trump Tower and other places, and his adult children, or adult family members, his kids, traveling around the world, opening up new Trump properties. Because it's costing an incredible amount of money. It said, I've read different stats, but it looks like since the inauguration, over $10 million has cost in security. Up here in New York, it's $500,000 a day. And Schumer and other New York officials have approached Congress to pay for that. I think it's $35 million or some number. Congress agreed to pay $7 million. So that's up here directly. Our taxes up here in New York are going to go to paying for that. Staying down in Florida in Palm Beach, one article I read said it's already cost local taxpayers $360,000 of police overtime because of the 3 weekends he shut down Florida. So, I mean, these are real costs that are coming to everyday taxpayers because of the way he's choosing to do business. And I think, A, that we can talk about how often he's already gone down to Mar-a-Lago and contrast that with Republicans complaining about President Obama's golf schedule. But also just what that money could do for veterans, for homeless veterans, or any number of veterans issues, mental health, all this stuff. Now, I'm not saying if it's not spent on police security, it gets put over here for veterans. But these are numbers that people are aware of and don't care, or they're not even aware of. It just kind of washes over them. But we wouldn't get the same acceptance if we said, you know what, we're going to, President Trump's decided to send an extra $100 million for veterans this year instead of going down to Florida. Like, I don't think you'd make that calculation. I'm not saying veterans is be all and end all, but there's a lot of...
We are, trust me. No, any worthy cause. So let me ask you, here's another question for you. What is involved in the cost of...
A lot of it is security of... Secret Service and
so Secret Service.
Local police.
Okay, so up in New York, because his son's going to complete school up there and finish the semester, and then there he and his wife will move to the White House. All right, so I don't know that there's anything we can do about that in the short term, and then that kind of sort of goes away when they move to D.C. What kind of security do family members rate? Do all of his kids rate Secret Service protection? I guess,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, especially while you're still in office. Yeah, definitely. And so that's the part that's hard to swallow for people who don't support Trump is that his family, you know, the whole idea of the conflict of interest and growing the Trump brand and the Trump coffers while he's in office. So his family members going around the world and now opening up new properties, our tax dollars are going to paying for that mandatory security. So that's an issue. And even interestingly, reading about the Mar-a-Lago club, that once he became president, it cost twice as much to join them before. And we're talking about pay to play. I don't think it's a coincidence that all of a sudden you want to belong there where he's there regularly. It costs $200,000 to join the $700,000. So there's financial aspects that are distressing to me as a taxpayer, but really the bigger conflict of interest slash pay to play, which he ran on against Hillary, are very, very much alive and well. And developing business overseas that we're paying for.
Some of that I don't know. To me, then somebody needs to look into it. And the Mar-a-Lago thing, I mean, he did that a while ago, right? In terms of raising that was all done well before.
It was not done before he became president. At least the primary.
Right. So it was before the election, though. Yes, at least.
I'm not sure. I thought it was after the election. But we can check that easily.
Yeah. To me, it's like, one of the things that's going to happen, and that's one of the things I thought that was interesting about the weekend, was you had Senator McCain calling him out for, his attacks on the media, and at some point I think what's going to happen are you're going to have a bipartisan group of people, both senators and congressmen, that go to the White House and say, hey, we'd like to have a conversation with you, a serious conversation about all of this. And here's what we're in the business of doing. And it seems like to us that you're not taking that seriously. And this is all getting worse. And so we'd like to have a conversation with you about that. And so to me, I often talk about the adults in the room that solve problems. When you're at a meeting, you normally find somebody that you ping on and say, hey, that guy, he's a problem solver. I need to talk to him afterwards. Again, you can say whatever you want, but at some point it goes through Congress to be funded. Right. And all that kind of tethers everybody to the planet. And so to me, if what his family's doing is unreasonable, then, then the government needs to say, OK, this is what we do. This is what we don't do. But I don't know. I've never even heard of it being an issue with anybody else's family in terms of where they go and the kind of protection.
Well, no
they
one
get.
Else has had adult children, for one thing. So that he's 70, he's got adult children who are successful, who are running his company. So this is a unique situation. Okay, but again, this is part of the calculus. When you choose to run to be the president of the free world and you have all sorts of ethics attorneys saying there's going to be a million conflicts of interest, he's on a campaign trail, says the class.
Yeah, but Justin, you're a lawyer. Most of that stuff doesn't apply to the president of the United States. I mean, he's specifically exempted from that. So, people can say it, but the truth is, statutorily, none of that stuff applies to him.
Legally, you're right. Fine. Right. But when we talk about having the moral high ground, we talk about a corruption-free America.
In politics? I mean, who's talking about that? Shirley Temple? Pollyanna? Come on, man. That's in the United States. That's crazy talk.
So you think that it's crazy that we should be a beacon on the hill, as Rip Reagan and many others before him said? You don't think we should lead by example? You think it's okay for our president to openly profit from his position?
No,
that's what we make fun of.
I think that is such a greasy city. I think that pointing the finger at him, right? And then being okay with, but if you're the admiral that just did the major work on the Zumwalt class destroyer, and then you get out and you go become the CEO of General Dynamics, who's building the ship, like, what is that? So I guess the guy who just was the proponent of the long range fighter and did most of the lobbying for that in the Air Force, who got out as the Secretary of the Air Force, got out as the, what do they call their senior guy? Chief of Staff of the Air Force?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's now on the board of Lockheed.
That's also what makes people sick. That's what makes people angry.
Yeah. I don't know he's any different from that statutorily. So ethically, it's just such a greasy, disgusting thing. You know, and again, I don't play Pollyanna with it, and I think when you open that up, I just think it's at some point, you know, the adults in the room have to get together with him. And I think it started, you know, McCain is one of the first of his own party, in theory, yeah, to come out and call him on it and say, you know, hey, shut up with that stuff. So
I'm very interested. And by the way, I looked at this stuff, and it looks like doubling initiation fee, at least on CNBC, it says following the election of Donald Trump, people close to resorts said it took effect on January 1. So that was right after he was elected anyway. I wanna
right after he was elected?
Well, in January.
Oh. Well,
the election was in November.
There you go. That's
yeah, so, I mean, you know, that's significant. But you're right, not illegal. Now, when are we going to start seeing legislation on the critical issues that he was elected on that are going to affect America's daily life?
Which one do you want to talk about?
Well, first of all, the healthcare.
Well, let me tell you, that's going to take a while because the lay of the land is this: left to its own devices, the Affordable Care Act would fail, and all the insurance providers, just mathematically, it doesn't work. And here's why: you can't exclude people for pre-existing conditions. All right, so that's a lot of sick people with a lot of bills. Okay, so now they're in the pool. Now everybody else gets in the pool. So if those people were included, your premium would be X. But those people are included. They have big bills. So your premium is going to be X plus Y. And Y is a big number. Okay? And then you can't kick them out because they've hit a cap. So they have to stay in. All right, so now that's Z. So you got X, Y, X plus Y plus Z. That's a big number. Okay, so now you're trying to keep it affordable, but you can't. So you got to have big co-pays, and so it just doesn't, financially it doesn't work. How do you replace that? Good question. Good question.
They ran on that.
Well, they're gonna have to come up with something. In my opinion, you have a more robust form of Medicaid that these people with pre-existing conditions and that are so sick. Well, no, and then that way the people that are just looking for basic health insurance can get it at an affordable rate, and the rest of us all subsidize care for these people that are so in need of major health care. And to me, I think that's, you know, I think that's
how come you think people in this country are afraid of the government or the single payer option when other countries that have that experience very high levels of satisfaction grant, they have to pay taxes for it.
Well, I don't know. The Canadians don't seem to be very happy with their system.
Sure,
and
they are.
I lived up close to there, and I can tell you that they weren't. People that I talked to weren't.
Some, but I mean, you know,
it's rationing health care. It's like the VA. You're going to wait for months for whatever you want. That's the Canadian healthcare system. We can do research on that. But yeah, but again, my point is this: there's no quick, easy solution for that problem. And so if they're going to do it well, they're going to have to knock out some walls and create, in my opinion, some new financial vehicles to get this done. And it's not going to be done without really coming to grips with the amount of money that gets spent on people that have terminal cancer, that people that have these long-term illnesses that require a lot of money relative to healthcare.
If I were a Republican congressman or senator, when would you have expected me to start working on a plan to repeal Obamacare?
Well, I mean, I know there's proposals now, but I guess right after the election. Well, I guess when you get to Washington and all that.
I mean, don't you think 6 years ago when the Republicans took over Congress that they said over and over again,
oh, Should they have had us? Should have? I don't. Yeah.
Fix this.
Why are you? You're being Pollyanna today. Healthcare everywhere else is gay. Where we should be the beacon on the hill. What did you do over the weekend? Did you read a lot of fairy tales?
In the Marine Corps, did you learn just to identify problems?
Okay, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. You've lost your mind. You need to go outside and breathe some fresh air. Because that's not the way the world is, especially the political world.
Why not figure out a solution instead of just saying this sucks?
I don't know. We didn't even get to the South China Sea or Korea getting punked by China.
Transition. Get us to South China Sea.
No.
Viewers are tired of hearing about this.
No. I think it's the it's the debate that's going on all over the country.
Yeah.
It's the debate that's going all over the country. And again, I think we take a more middle-of-the-road thing. And I do have to factually correct you because somebody pointed out to me in an email. Bush 41 had adult children. Reagan had adult children. You know, I mean, so he's not the first guy to have adult children.
Remember when Bush was in office? Hold on. Talking about Bush Sr.? I'm talking about
both of them.
W. Bush, okay, with his daughters who were in high school and college.
Right.
Remember they were getting drunk.
Right. They were in high school.
So they're not out there going to UAE.
Yeah, but no, but so, but during the era that the Secret Service has provided protection, Reagan's kids certainly, you know, received it, and they weren't, I mean, they were, you know, adult people, and also, you know, the Bushes all got it too. So, and they were adult, active, you know, people. Now, I don't know, again, that's why I say, you know, to me, when you read the headline, unless you do the footnotes, you know, it's like, I can't discuss it with you because I don't have all the footnotes, man.
Sure. But it'd be interesting to see then, and this isn't hard information to find out, what the Secret Service costs were for 41 children versus...
I agree.
All right.
I agree. And you know, to me, that's what...
That should be included in those articles.
When I talk about the adults in the room coming together and saying, hey, this should be the left and right lateral limit of what we're doing here. Okay. And if you know, but again, maybe we have to come to grips with, hey, these are successful people who travel to do deals and do business. They're not doing anything more or less than they did before. It's simply the same, rhythm that they've done it before. And so there you have it.
And there's costs associated.
Right. There's costs associated. And we're watching to make sure it's not gratuitous relative to the public. But the bottom line, you know, it is what it is. So.
Where do you think the Republicans who are angry at Obama going to Hawaii, how they feel about President Trump already going to Mount
Rushmore? They were mad at Nixon for going to California. They were mad at Johnson for going to Texas. Whatever, man. Yeah. What do I think? I think it's a slow news day. If that's what you're bitching about in this age of telecommunications, that's a slow news day. Okay? Because he could do anything from anywhere he wants to.
No, I agree completely. And the idea that President Bush, when he went down to his ranch, didn't have secured communications there and wasn't working was a joke when people made fun of him. The same was true of Obama. But it was high on both sides against both of those presidents consistently. People made those comments all the time. In fact, Trump campaigned complaining that Obama was out on the road working for Hillary.
I know, but I mean, come on, you're gonna like talk to me like the contradictions in American politics.
I know.
All right, look, you're in time.
Let's talk about South China.
You're in timeout. All right, we're out of time.
Okay.
All right. Hey, first of all, enjoy your working day off, and thanks for the visit.
Thanks, Mac.
All right. That is Justin Constantine here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Grant Newsham's going to join us via Skype. We've never done that before. So It'll be interesting. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
I'm good.